Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. And I am so glad that you're here with me now or whenever you're listening to this program. Thank you so much for caring. And what I like to do is bring a little light, a little joy, a little just a moment of good breathing. Breathing is so important. And little things to help you through your day. You know, life can be so frustrating, so challenging every day, depending on what station you're listening to and what news you're reading or not reading. Things can be so overwhelming. It's not the friendliest place, planet Earth, but I like to focus on the friendly things, the happy things, the things that can keep us going and make us do better things for the planet, to make it a better place for ourselves, our family, and for the future, because I think the future matters, and I want to be a part of making things better, even when I'm long gone. Okay? So, with that in mind, the theme of this show today is hope, and we're going to be talking about things that give us hope. And I have no one better with me here in the studio than Robin Camille, who is the executive producer of the PBS television show Urban Animals, and she's a passionate animal rights activist who has written several award-winning public service announcements for PETA, which ran on Fox, ABC, and Bounce television affiliates nationwide, and she co-wrote the song Free the Monkeys with fellow activist and HLN television host Jane Velez Mitchell, which shed light on the mistreatment of monkeys being used in lab experiments in Hendry County, Florida, as well as the song Free Lolita, Let the Girl Go, to raise awareness about the orca Lolita, who is being held captive at the Miami Seaquarium. Her children's books Saving Benjamin and Food for Alex were recently published, and each of those books encourage social responsibility and community involvement, and that's what we're going to be talking about right now here on It's All About Food. Robin, it's so good to see you.
Yes, Karen, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good to see you too.
Yes. So, I love children's books.
Yes.
And I don't know. Well, I suppose some people realize this, but children's books have a profound influence mm-hmm. on children.
Yes.
And there are new studies. I've been talking about them a lot. How our brain, based on its foundation, doesn't want to accept new information sometimes when it's contrary to what we grew up with. Mm-hmm. So when people hear about how a healthy plant-based diet can really change their life and bring health to them and save the planet, and it happens to be the nicest thing you can do when it comes mm-hmm. to eating, there are parts in our foundation that we were brought up with that says, no, no, no. And the brain will make up excuses, actually, to support what it learned originally. So we need to have tools for children to have them open their mind to all kinds of things. And I think that's what you're doing with your two books.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to do, because I share those sentiments. I understand. Because it's too late to start preaching to people at 35. You have to get to them early for yeah. the reasons that you just mentioned. I have been involved with the movement to free Lolita, the orca who's being held at the Miami Seaquarium. That fight has been going on for over 20 years, and she's still in that tank because you have human beings who, as you just mentioned, have a mindset that is set. And no matter how much you try to appeal to them to see the plight of this orca or to be compassionate, they're not getting it. And it's out of that frustration. And I've also worked with PETA. I've done demonstrations with PETA where I've gotten into, you know, very heated exchanges with people. Although the children, they were the ones who were more receptive to the message. And then I had an aha moment, and I said, well, you know something? Maybe I should shift this, because I was becoming frustrated, as many of us do. And I said, I can't give up the fight. I just have to change focus, as a good general would. You know, you have when you're in battle, you have to change your strategy. Mm-hmm. So that's why I opted to write the children's books to get the message to the children, because I think it's important for us to get these messages to the children early, to encourage them to have a healthy relationship with our planet, to respect our planet, the oceans, the animals, to be compassionate. Because sometimes even if you try to relay these messages to teenagers, it may be too late.
Yeah.
So that's why both of my books are geared toward young children ages 3 to 8. Yeah. So as soon as you're out of diapers, honey, Miss Robin's got a message for you. Okay. Yes.
Well, I'm thinking of children's books. Okay. When I was young, it was Dick and Jane and yes. Dog Spot. Yes. But there were plenty of them where if I went back to read them today, there would probably be images that I would find horrifying. Mm-hmm. Like maybe, and I can't think of a book specifically, but I'm sure I read books about going to the zoo.
Right.
And what a lovely thing it would be for the family to go to the zoo.
Right.
To watch the imprisoned non-human animals who are living in an environment that's so unnatural, and mm-hmm. they're miserable and lonely, and
yes.
it's horrible.
Yes.
But it's normal.
Yes. And, you know, your parents were just, you know, providing you with a book that they thought was fun. And it's just a lack of knowledge. And that's why it's important to get the knowledge out there, to get the word out there. Because what I have found is that I can talk to someone until I'm blue in the face. And I know you've done the same. But if you pass that knowledge on to a child, that child can be that light in that household. That child can compel their parents to start thinking a different way. Quicker than you or I would be able to. And that's the importance, because if you educate a child, you can change the world.
You know, I'm catching up on recent movies, mm-hmm. and I just watched Captain Fantastic. Mm. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, it's fantastic.
Okay, Captain Fantastic is fantastic.
Yeah, now,
there's
one thing I don't like about it, but it's about a man who's raising his 6 children mm-hmm. on a property that he owns in the woods, mm-hmm. and they're living pretty naturally. Now, they do hunt, and that was the only downside.
Right.
But he was teaching them a lot of morality and ethics that were really good. And then when they had to come back to the real world because mm-hmm. his wife, unfortunately, had died and he had to deal with the family, mm-hmm. There was a fascinating conversation with the sister's family mm-hmm. and what was normal to them. And you just see the things that with respect to food and so many other things that are accepted as normal that are really outrageously crazy
yes.
that these kids learned from such a young age. And it goes both ways, from those who were raised one way and another way. Mm. We have so much impact molding young children
yes.
and their minds.
Yes.
But I do recommend it. It's a fun film.
Wow. I will certainly see that. Yes. Yeah, because children are like little sponges. And they mimic everything that they see. It's amazing. Because I've been around children and I've done some things. I just like mannerisms and they'll pick right up on it. It's amazing. And that's why we have to be very careful what we say and do around them. And we have to make sure that we get healthy things in those little brains. Good things, good thoughts,
yes,
energy.
I was remembering why I brought up that movie. I had remembered and then I lost my train of thought and I just found it.
Yes.
So before I lose it again, we have factory farming of animals, mm-hmm. which is a horrible thing. And many children's books talk about, well, they won't even touch it. I mean, they don't talk about animal slaughter or anything, although there might be a Thanksgiving table with mm-hmm. the turkey on the plate. On the big platter, and that seems really normal. But parents don't want to tell their children the truth mm-hmm. about where their food comes from, because a children's book about factory farming can be very frightening. And mm-hmm. there actually are a few that are wonderful. The author's name is escaping me, and mm-hmm. I apologize for that. But your books mm-hmm. kind of go beyond that, because mm-hmm. they're so simple.
Mm-hmm.
The story is so simple.
Yes.
And a child can find the obvious truth mm-hmm. in the story
yes.
without even having to know about trawlers and all the horrible things that go on in fishing today.
Exactly, exactly. Because with Saving Benjamin, and that's the goal, you don't want to frighten children. And I know some parents, of course, a parent's job is to protect their child, and you don't want any horrific images to frighten that child or scar that child. So you do have to relay the message in a way that engages the child, but not that doesn't frighten the child. And with Saving Benjamin, it's a book about two little girls, Tiffany and Taisha, who love playing with their little fish friend, Benjamin. But his mom won't let him out to play with them when they go to the beach because the shoreline is so polluted with plastic debris and garbage. And over 1 million seabirds and fish die each year from plastic debris and garbage because they mistake it for food and they ingest it, so they get sick and die. And I didn't put that in the book. I just said that, you know, that they do ingest it and they get sick. And I didn't, you know, I didn't get too morbid. But these young ladies, they get others in the community to help them keep the beach clean, clean their local ocean. And so Benjamin comes to get to play with them. So it's a good message. It's a fun message. Not morbid. You know, I did tell, you know, relay that, you know, ingesting plastics for the marine life is very dangerous. But the message got across and children actually love it. I was actually at the National Animal Rights Day last week, giving away free copies of the book. And the children loved it because what I'm doing now with Saving Benjamin, I have some fundraising campaigns. I have a You Caring campaign, a crowdfunding campaign. We're giving away free copies of the book because I want to get this message across because, you know, I do want to get it in schools down the line. But sometimes dealing with the red tape and the bureaucracy, it can take years and years and years. So what I'm doing is raising money to buy the books and get the books printed so I can just get these books in the hands of children. I have several summer reading programs that are waiting to receive books. Book Harvest in North Carolina is on the list to receive books. So we're asking folks just to donate to the campaign, which you can do by going to youcaring.com/saveouroceans. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I remember as a kid, there was a campaign, there were commercials, it was in the schools, and it was all about littering.
Yes.
And how we shouldn't litter.
Yes.
I got that message.
Don't
we
be a litter bug. That's right.
But somehow, generations later, that message got lost.
Yes.
And now
yes.
The world is our toilet. The world is our garbage can.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And you can go to a beach, and, you know, I don't want to judge, but...
But go ahead, girl. Testify. It's all right. Testify, honey. I didn't bring my tambourine today, but go ahead, Karen. It's all right, honey.
A lot of people leave their garbage.
Yes.
They just leave it.
Yes. Yes.
And who taught them that? Who taught them that was okay?
Let me tell you something. And promoting the book and giving copies of the book out, you don't know how many people I know who live by near beaches and the shoreline tell me, they say, oh, it's not us. It's the people that visit the beach and just leave the junk. You don't know how many times I've heard that. And what I like to tell people is that this planet, think of it as one big apartment. Okay. And we're all roommates here. We're all roommates here, okay? So if you leave a pile of junk in the living room and you go off to the bedroom, that pile of junk is still in your home. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the way to look at it. And so you leaving garbage and junk at someone at a beach that where you don't happen to live near doesn't mean you escape the drama. Because we're all in this together.
Yep.
We're all in this together.
And the sea life get it.
Yes, of course they do. Of course they
and
do.
And not just from garbage on the beach, unfortunately.
No,
I mean, all these things that you're talking about that poor little Benjamin has access to on his beach, that comes from so many places.
Oh, so many places. Illegal dumping, you know, oh my goodness, it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And the other thing, too, is that President Trump is proposing some major cuts to the EPA's budget.
I don't like to say his name.
I know, girl.
Show.
You know what, girl? I know, but you know what? It is what it is. But you know what? We can never rely on the government, whoever's in office, to do everything. It is we have to pick up the slack and we have to be the foot soldiers. We have to be the warriors to make our communities, our beaches, our planet safer at the end of the day.
That's the only thing that good that has come out of the current administration.
Yes.
Is that more people are waking up and realizing we have to participate.
Yes, yes. And I think that was a good thing because for far too long, people were happy with the status quo. As long as it didn't, there was nothing that was bothering them or intruding in their little bubble, they were fine.
Yes.
They didn't care what was going on overseas. They didn't care what was going on down the street or in other neighborhoods where people were suffering. But as long as they were safe and happy and they could, you know, do what they wanted to do and live their lives, they were happy. So I'm very glad because there's a lot of engagement. There's more activism. People are more aware and they realize they can't sit their buns on the couch. They have to get out and fight. So that is a good thing. So I'm happy about that.
Now, you have another book, too.
Yes, I do. Food for Alex.
I didn't read that one.
No,
I
you
only
didn't
read
that.
Saving Benjamin.
Yes, only Saving Benjamin, because Food for Alex is actually going to be out in September.
Okay.
Yes, that's going to be out in September, and that's a story about a boy, Jacob, and his dog, who his friend they actually play with all the time, and then one day he doesn't show up to play. They go to find him at his house and find out that his father has lost his job, and there's no food in the house, and that's why he hasn't come out to play because he's not been able to eat. He's not feeling well. So they actually mobilize the community to organize a food drive to get food to take to Alex's family. So, yes, that's another story.
It's a good story.
Yes.
And it's really important for children to hear these stories.
Yes.
We want to tell the children the truth.
Yes.
Because when they know the truth, for one, the truth is empowering and they don't have to make up stories in their mind as to why things are happening. I recently had John Joseph on this show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know John Joseph, but he had a really harrowing youth as a foster child.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the stories in his book are just terrible. Mm-hmm. And he lived very close to the neighborhood I was growing up in. So I was thinking, wow, I had this happy little childhood and he was going through hell. But then I started to think about some of the children that were in my class from time to time that I thought were a little odd for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking, you know, maybe they were hungry. Maybe they were foster children that weren't cared for. Maybe they were just so poor.
Yes.
And you know, I can see that. I remember those kids, and I know.
Looking back.
Looking back.
Yes.
And if I had a book or a story that helped me understand that, I might have been able to have helped them.
Right, right. Well, the other thing, too, is that children often see the truth quicker than adults can. Or quicker than adults think they do.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, with hunger in America, it's growing. It's growing. There's millions and millions of children that go to bed every night hungry. But the other thing, too, Karen, and this is something that we need to change, and certainly we need to enlist the government to do this, people actually criminalize poverty. Because if a child is hungry and they're in school, and they mention to a teacher or a principal, I'm hungry, that teacher or that principal is encouraged or actually obligated to call the child welfare department because this parent is a bad parent. She's not or he's not feeding their children. And then there's a case opened and they may take the child out of the home. So, you know, parents and children are afraid to even ask for help because if your child is hungry, people jump to the conclusion, oh, you're a bad parent. No, they're not looking at the fact that this woman, this man, these parents are working two and three jobs and still cannot put food on the table.
Yep.
So they are afraid to ask for help, and we need to get that off the table, so we can have people willing and able to come to ask for help, because now they're fearful mm-hmm. of asking for help.
I've read stories in some schools where the child is shamed for not having the money to pay for lunch.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've heard stories. There was a story on the news last year about a paraprofessional who actually gave money to a child who couldn't afford a school lunch, and the principal fired her. And there was a big uproar about it, and I don't know whether she got her job back, but I mean, how can you let a child go hungry?
Mm-mm.
And she took the money out of her pocket. She didn't take it out of petty cash from the school
sure.
or anything. And they fired her. So it's, you know, I don't know, you know, I know you've got rules and regulations, but where's the common sense?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the common sense?
I know teachers that have brought in healthy food to
yes.
their class, snacks and fruits
yes.
all the time for anybody who wanted them.
Yes.
For two reasons. One was to encourage kids and have them ask about, you know, why do you do this? And mm-hmm. that opened the dialogue about healthy food. But some kids are just plain hungry.
Yes. Yes. Some kids are plain hungry.
And teachers have to pay for a lot of things out of pocket.
Yes, they do. I know teachers that have bought winter coats. Okay. The teachers, let me tell you something. The teachers here are amazing. They go above and beyond. They go above and beyond. I'm telling you, I've seen them do it. They go above and beyond for these children.
Mm.
They do.
Okay, now you sent me a video of Saving Benjamin.
Yes, that was a book trailer.
Yeah,
yes.
Who did that? And
well,
made
actually,
those great graphics.
Yes. Well, I have a team that works with me. The illustrator is Angel Matowski, who did all the illustrations. She's amazing. I had another team put together the book trailer. So yeah, I have an amazing group of people working with me. You know, I wrote the story, but I'm not an illustrator, so I had to enlist some other foot soldiers in this journey. So I'm very excited about that, and very excited about what we all did together and produced together. I'm very happy about the project, and hopefully it will serve as a message to parents, to children, and others who work with children to encourage them to save our oceans.
Now, in the other book, which mm-hmm. I haven't read your food book, is there any hint to vegan food?
Well, actually, let me tell you something. The story, the food that they bring to and collect to and give to Alex is actually a can of spaghetti. That's what's mentioned in the book, because actually it's based sort of a little bit of my life is in that book as well, because one time I was walking to school with my mom, and we didn't have anything to eat, and we weren't sure how we were going to eat that night, and I found a dollar on the street, and my mother said, "Oh my God, that's God." And she took the dollar and bought a can of ravioli, which mm-hmm. I love to eat. But you know, ravioli has meat in yeah. it, so I don't do that anymore. So that's why in the story I had Alex receiving cans of spaghetti.
Sure.
No meat spaghetti. Yeah, so that was you know, because I was trying to think of a nice, you know, vegetarian vegan option in a can. So he got spaghetti. Yes. 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 Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
good.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I might have
yes.
given him Campbell's vegetarian beans.
Yes, yes, because he gets boxes and boxes of food, but the one single can that they hand yeah. him out, because basically what happens is Jacob and Pete, the dog, when they first find out he's hungry, before they organize the food drive, they run back to their house and just grab this can of spaghetti and give it to him.
Yeah.
Yes,
nice.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
In mentioning those vegetarian beans,
mm-hmm.
I used to have them all the time as a kid, and I never
uh-huh.
never connected what vegetarian even meant
right.
on that can of beans.
Right.
It was just, you know, one of the cans
beans.
My mom bought, and, you know, we ate them.
Yes, that's right. It was just beans, honey, and they tasted real good. Yes, yes,
yeah.
And lots of fiber, healthy,
yeah,
you know.
They had a little sugar in them, too.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, honey, it's sugar and everything. Oh, my goodness, tell me. That's another topic for another day.
Yeah.
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
Okay, so what else can we talk about here with Saving Benjamin?
Well, you know something.
Books?
Listen, you know, I went to the first annual World Ocean Festival on Sunday as well.
Where was that?
Oh, that was actually on Governor's Island.
Mm.
And, you know, it was very enlightening and very encouraging to see so many people involved because, you know, with the waterfront, the other thing with waterfronts, you know, you have developers that are so eager to build buildings there and destroy property. And, you know, of course, anytime you have a building, that there's going to be more pollution and blah, blah, blah. And people were discussing trying to save and salvage New York's waterfront and the waterfronts throughout the country instead of having them just be condo developments. Mm-hmm. And that's another major, major thing. Yes, I mean, you can enjoy the beach by visiting the beach, and you don't necessarily have to have a condo development if you want to live near the beach, you know. but all of this overdevelopment, it is definitely contributing to the ocean's pollution as well. So that was an issue and a topic that I was glad to see someone brought up, because here in New York City, honey, there's a condo everywhere. It's just so much building, and of course the waterfront the developers see that as prime territory. So. And they don't really care about the fish or the aftermath of the building and all of that. They don't care about that.
No.
Yeah. So
don't.
I was glad to hear that discussed there. I was very glad to hear that discussed. Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I love using the word vegan and sharing the vegan message. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I know that there's this knee-jerk reaction from a lot of people who won't positively respond when you say you have a vegan message.
Right.
And so your book, Saving Benjamin, for example, is a global message for everyone just to respect the environment and be aware of all the garbage that's going on.
Yes, yes, yes. Be aware of all the garbage. And as I said, you know, you dumping something or polluting a beach or dumping something in an ocean or a river or a lake and thinking that, it's not in my backyard, but it is in your backyard.
Yep.
It is in your backyard because, as I said, the earth is our home. We all share it, and it is in your backyard. And sooner or later, that garbage is going to travel to an ocean or a lake or a river near you.
Now, I hope nobody fishes for little Benjamin, because as we learned in the movie Finding Nemo, fish are your friends, not food.
That's right. That's right. So Tiffany and Taisha can play with Benjamin. Yeah. So they don't want him to be eaten end up on someone's dinner plate. No.
Well, I can't believe it. Yeah. We've ate up a whole half hour.
Oh, well,
We
always have fun. And thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah.
And as I said, you know, this summer, throughout the summer, I'm going to have the free book campaign for Saving Benjamin. So if there's anyone who works with children, any educators involved in summer programs for children, please reach out to me at pleasesaveouroceans@gmail.com. If you want to contribute to our crowdfunding campaign, you can visit youcaring.com/saveouroceans.
Is that YOU?
Yes,
the letter
it's youcaring.com/saveouroceans.com. I mean, excuse me, I'm sorry, I messed that up. Oh my goodness. It's youcaring, youcaring.com/saveouroceans. Woo!
Yeah, those C's and K's.
Yes, those C's and K's, girl. Woo! Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks for joining me, and it's all about food.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
For looking so sunshiny and sparkly.
Well, thank you. Honey, when in doubt, wear sequins. What can I tell you?
Okay, we're going to take a very quick break, and we're going to be back in a moment with Carl Pope to talk about Climate of Hope.